Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heads or tails.
Lemon face.
Guess what?
What?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Business Podcast, episode 364. This is Jorge.
Buenos ding dong diddly dias. Yo soy Maddie, the mouth on the south ding dong.
Mouth on the south?
You heard me.
That's tight.
My guy in DC tells me we are not dealing with the student here. We're dealing with the professor. Anytime the military has an operation that can't fail, they call this guy in to train the troops, okay? He's the kind of guy who would drink a gallon of gasoline so he could piss in your campfire. You could drop this guy off at the Arctic Circle wearing a pair of bikini underwear without his toothbrush, and tomorrow afternoon he's gonna show up at your poolside with a $1 million smile and fist full of pesos. This guy's a professional, you got me? If he reaches this rig, we're all gonna be nothing but a goddamn hole right in the middle of fucking Alaska. So let's go find him and kill him and get rid of the son of a bitch. This is Ree.
See, now I feel like George should have read that and then introduced you as that guy.
That's too planned.
You're the guy.
Well, I mean, it's...
I feel like you
It's already that. Too planned because you typed it out.
No, that's more planning than planning.
It's like double planning.
More planning than planning.
More human than human.
Yeah.
I'm the kind of G the little homies want to be like.
Yeah. You know who else the little homies want to be like? The fine folks on Patreon.com/WhoGoesTheirPodcast.
That's right, that's right, that's right.
They financially help us with this show, and we like give them exclusive content and bonus merchandise and all kinds of other fun stuff. So if you want to be like the little homie that all the little homies want to be like, go to Patreon.com/WhoGoesTheirPodcast.
That's right, that's right, that's right. Yeah.
On my knees day and night, saying prayers in the streetlight.
We've been spending most our lives living in a gangster's paradise.
Uh-huh.
We churn butter once or twice, living in an Amish paradise. That's the same sound I made with the new Mars Volta album, ironically.
I think the sound was more like,
the Bruno Mars Volta. But Bruno Mars Volta would be better.
That would be
But Bruno Mars is talented.
So Matthew.
Well, shut up.
Yeah, but.
How you been?
Chill. I ain't done.
Chill.
I ain't done shit. I worked a bunch of days. I did go to Disneyland. That was super fun. I went to Disneyland.
What? Did you take it to drug?
I ate a bunch of edibles. That was dope. Cool. The new Star Wars Rise of the Resistance is super cool.
Oh, so you like Star Wars, dude?
That ride I do, hell yeah.
Oh, you like Han Solo, dude?
Who's Han Solo?
Don't even.
Oh, you like Princess Leia, dude?
Yeah, only Slave Leia, though.
What's the name of fucking...
Oh, you like Salacious Crumb, dude?
You like Kurt Russell, dude?
Is Salacious Crumb the little guy? No, that's Bobby Fritz. Oh, I do like Salacious Crumb. Okay, that's Rhett. That's Rhett. I like him.
That's my dude.
I like Babu Frick. I'm a Babu Frick guy. But yeah, Disneyland was fun.
Babu Frick.
And I ain't done shit besides work. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Cool.
That's it.
What about you, little homie?
No shows this week. Just working.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
just working and a jerking.
Oh, well, I hit that gymnasium a few times.
Did you do some tumbles and stuff? Because that's what people do in a gymnasium.
Nah.
Did you do some flippy floppies?
Nah.
Okay.
Nah.
That's pumped iron.
Did you do some?
I'm doing the fun stuff.
Did you do some leg work?
I did. Twice.
Mm.
I did.
I did.
Look, man.
I did.
Not 2 fucking years, okay?
I love that he takes a little break from working out when he was bigger. He was bigger than me, and now he's taking a little break, and I just keep giving him shit. Like, he's flabby and just, like, out of shape.
Well, it's great. I am out of shape.
You're in good shape, dude.
Oh, thanks, man.
Those are perfectly shaped titties right there.
I mean... I have a better frame than you.
That's true.
We know that.
Yeah, you got a much bigger frame.
But you're taller.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm much lankier.
You also don't,
eat a piece of bread and put on 5 pounds.
You also don't have shitty bones like he does.
Mm-hmm.
Well, come on, guys. We don't,
She's got shitty bones.
Is this
baby bird bones?
You guys, it was making me feel better. Now I just feel ghoulish.
Why? Because we're making fun of him?
Because we're, yeah. That's not what I want to do.
You're cheapening his victory. That's what it is.
Exactly. Hey, what'd you do?
Let's see. I'm prepping for stuff in the backyard, which is a total nightmare.
Hot tub.
Hot tub time.
Hot tub time machine?
Just a hot tub time.
We have to mix our seed in the hot tub.
I remember when that trailer came out, I was like so impressed. Like, oh, what an idea. The hot tub time machine. Never mind. Go on.
What?
Was this during your drugs and alcohol phase?
It was just near the end of it.
Okay. Near the end, where hot tub time machine was like, oh, yeah. Shit.
He's like, yeah, near my lowest point, I was really into hot tub time machine.
I was married to an affluent white family, and it was okay to like that stuff.
How many...
How fucked up do you have to be?
How much drugs have to be in your fucking system before a hot tub time machine is like, hey, that's pretty good. Well, it's a combination of drugs and being white. That's the problem.
Definitely, dude. I was around way too many white people. That's when I was married and shit. Yeah. It's over.
Oh, I remember those days. hot tub is on its way. The pool is on its way.
Like, you know, it sounds good—a movie with John Cusack in a hot tub, like 50-year-old John Cusack in a hot tub,
and the black dude from The Office,
Craig fucking Robinson.
Yes, that guy.
Oh my god!
And that's then there's great. Like the bald white dude, the alcoholic, where I'm like, oh, that's me. You know what I mean? Oh shit!
I'm building a deck.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which is super cute.
Did you see the little thing he built out there?
No.
It's like a little patio. He put a table on. It's nice. I'm like, where did that come from? He's like, oh, I did it last week. I'm like, of course you did.
Damn.
That's what's up, dude.
How long did it take you, dude?
1 weekend, dude.
For real? Yes.
Did you forget that he's Mexican? It's like when you play Civilization, like he gets a national...
Civilization, ha! Call it as I see it.
He gets a nationality bonus towards building.
In lieu of any actual Hispanic people being here, I represent the Mexicans. And I'm not going to let you talk like that about Mexicans.
That's true.
Jorge Gonzalez...
They're very accomplished builders.
Does not represent the Latino.
They get plus 10% to production per turn. So like
we get like a 50% wiry bonus to our muscles.
Yeah, the only thing
is you get a free trip to Home Depot.
You have to stop production every 3 hours for a 2-hour siesta.
Jesus. Siestas are cool. That's a European thing. That's a European thing, and they got it going on with the siesta thing.
They know when to take a break, bro. They're like, take a nap, have some tea, you're good.
Yeah.
Have a little biscuit.
Have some oral sex, get back to work.
If only. It's like 4 o'clock, shut it down for Earl Grey and blowjobs. Yeah.
Yes. back to
Jorge. China green tips and American white dicks.
What I got? What we watched?
No. What do you got?
Oh,
it's just. So he said. He said he only works.
You got the deck. You got the pool. You got the spa. What else?
That's it.
You got a birthday coming up?
I do.
Yeah, he'll be 40 in like 2 days.
40 in 2 days.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Is that Cedric dude singing in his low voice, dude?
Happy birthday, dear Furious Jorge. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, that's how we do it here.
Yeah. No, not on my birthday, we don't. Ha, got him.
He said happy birthday, dear Jose.
Dear Jose?
Yeah.
What do you mean not on my birthday?
Nobody sung me happy birthday. Ever.
This is the first time we sang it on the thing.
I know, it's dope. I'm glad we did it to George because you could tell he was uncomfortable when we did it.
Matt. You got to watch that Tom Cruise Matt Lauer interview. That's you right now.
Matt.
Is that me?
He's like,
Matt, you're being glib.
Yeah.
You're being glib right now. Yeah. Have you watched anything? Played anything? Listened to anything?
So the only thing I really watched this week was I watched Uninvited.
That's a mistake.
No, we like that movie.
What are you talking about?
The one with the boat and the cat.
Oh, I thought you
were... The one we made the stickers off of?
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about... I'm sorry. The Invitation. There's a new one.
Oh, no, no, no.
Vampire bullshit.
I was... no, on Sunday, I was like looking for a 2022 movie.
On Sunday morning.
As I turned on Shudder, Uninvited was streaming, and it had just started, and I was like, oh, I have to watch this. And I was glad I did, because that movie's fucking bananas.
What are you talking about? What movie is this now?
Uninvited, the movie the with like...
The killer cat that sneaks on the away.
Yeah, and then that weird... The weird rat thing busts out of it, and there's like that rich dude who's like trying to do like launder like money or something.
King what? Sam told us to do the movie.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
And we made the stickers where we're coming out of the cat's mouth.
Oh, that was a fun movie.
That was a,
You're right.
That was streaming on Shudder the other day.
They fucking throw the cat out of the boat, and then it like jumps back in the shot. Like, yeah.
That was great. That's the only thing I really watched.
Why does this poster suck so bad, though?
Played a little bit of Isaac. That's it. I haven't played Dead by Daylight in over a month.
It's probably good for you, though.
I was getting tired of that shit.
That's the Uninvited. That's different.
Yeah, but I've just been working, so I've been watching, you know, YouTube videos here and there. Same shit, true crime, wrestling, whatnot. It's been a lackluster week.
It's been. What about you, little homie?
I watched a film called Tenet.
That one with the terrible sound?
It's the one with the worst sound.
Fantastic sound.
It's the movie that you have to watch at least 6 times to even understand whatever the fuck is going on.
It's so
and even
good.
Then, it's and even so good. Then, and even then, it's like, well, why did
and
I?
Even
why,
then,
why
bro.
Did I watch it this many times? Fuck.
It's my Walking Dead, okay? it's just the same episode over and over again because I need to get a different layer next time.
So then, like, the Walking Dead, exactly.
Yeah, but just not as much time. It's condensed. It's folded.
Yeah, but it's it's folded, but, like, it's 6 hours.
It's folded into 2 hours that you can watch repeatedly. And so, you get what I'm saying? You get to hit all your favorite bits.
Twice.
More than twice. It's a fucking trip, dude. I gave it a minute, and whoa, that movie.
Wait a minute.
I don't know what I gotta say. Oh,
hi, Sophia.
Hi, Sophia.
Recently, I had the pleasure of watching No Country for Old Men at Dawn with Donovan,
and so I showed it
to Sophia because she's like, "What's up with that movie? You know, I've always heard of it." And I'm like, "Well, just a brief warning. It's a bleak movie, and." God damn, is it a bleak fucking movie.
It's
and
a lean
did you notice
night.
There's no musical score in that
there
movie?
There is none, and it's gorgeous.
Until it kicks in the credits, and then it's like, oh!
Yeah.
So, great movie, obviously. It gave her nightmares, she said.
Hell yeah.
And the specific thing was just the feeling of just endless persecution, like being pursued, you know? And because the guy, like, pursuing with the motel with the tracker and all that.
Speaking of which.
Call it.
Speaking of which, what? So let's pretend there's a snail. Okay?
There is a snail.
And this snail kills you the moment it touches you.
Didn't we already talk about this?
I don't know if Rhett talked about it yet.
Quiet. I'm just kidding.
How do you get away from the snail, dude? What's your strategy? It's always pursuing you.
This is, It Follows.
Yeah, but like slower.
You don't get away from the snail. It will get you eventually. But...
What do?
You just keep moving until the inevitable.
But, like, what do you do?
How far away is the snail right now? You're not giving me enough fucking information.
You never know, dude.
I don't let it touch me.
You just find, like, the halfway point between, like, where you are now and the other side of the world. And then every 6 months or so, you just move. That's it. The stupid snail has to turn around. It got all the way to Florida. It's going to have to cross the ocean. And it's like, fuck, he moved back to California.
Well, I mean.
He said, I got to cross the Rockies again?
What's the fucking catch here, Jorge? I mean, you just came up with this shit.
He's always
what?
Pursuing you, dude. That's the catch.
That's death. that's the catch. It's going to happen. The snail will get you eventually. If death doesn't get you first.
Maybe.
Maybe if death doesn't get you first, because you could anything number of things could happen before the snail gets you too. It's not like just because the snail exists, nothing else exists.
What would you do? Would you wait?
You
until,
could get AIDS at the fucking.
Would you wait until
show.
Like you saw it?
You would probably get AIDS at the Perturbator show.
Definitely.
Would you wait until you probably, saw it?
Like, I would probably like, seek AIDS.
Crawling across the floor, and you'd be like, I gotta go, dude. And
does this snail have superhuman strength?
It's a normal snail.
Dude, then I would just wait till he comes up, and I'd drop a fucking 45-pound plate on him.
Oh, you can't kill him.
He's an invincible snail.
He's an invincible snail.
Okay, then, like, why don't I just put, like, a bowl over him and bolt it to the floor? Be like, now you're in this habitat, snail.
Forever.
Yeah, or just, like, lure him into a terrarium and just put a book on top of it.
Well, he'll get out.
How?
He could lift it.
He doesn't have to. Well, all so right, he does have superhuman strength.
Just put him in a fucking like pool of water.
Like a Ziploc?
Yeah, any number
of things. You can't get out of that, right?
Where did you get this?
I don't know. It's an old internet thing.
Is it Cosmopolitan magazine or something at a dentist office? Like, where did you get this shit?
No, that's 10 signs that your man's a limp-digged loser.
Wow.
That's what those Cosmo
magazines. You read that one?
Yeah.
They need signs. They need to read signs. Yeah. It's like,
they're like wait a minute. Sign number one. He can't get an erection.
They need a magazine about it. You're like, well, how do I deal with this limp-dicked idiot that I've married?
Yeah. 10 signs.
10.
One. Number one, limp dick. Yeah.
Number two, loser.
Number two, loser.
It just repeats five different times.
Three, two through 10 are like,
What's the woman equivalent of limp dick?
Dry twat.
Dry pussy?
Yeah. Dry lipped loser.
Dry lipped loser. Well, I mean, that's the thing that points out a good thing too, right? Because if the woman's dry, the guy feels like it's his fault, right?
I mean,
I kind of do.
I do. Yeah.
It's like, but so.
Well, maybe if like the idea of the dick is to be hard, then that would be like the antithesis of what you would want for the vagina. So like a vagina would be like a hard lipped loser. A spike lipped loser.
Like a loose lipped loser. A loose, dry loser. So, right?
But I guess the like implication a
floppy,
is
floppy shot out sleeve of wizard dried.
The implication is that it's always our fault.
I mean, if it's like if it's dry, you know, that could be a medical thing, and that's nothing to be like, you know, ashamed of. But also, if it's hard or spiky, then you're a fucking weirdo, and you should be ridiculed.
Oh, hard man. And don't spiky, do that.
Don't or do that. Spiky.
You're like the cap counselor in The Burning now.
Oh, you picked up on that.
Yeah, you're protecting that. You picked up on that. Hell yeah.
Anywho,
fuck yeah, I did.
Oh man, I can't wait to get into that.
Seeing those credits, I was all shit. Let me get the radar on for this.
What else you see?
Oh,
after the snail.
Yeah. I watched. Oh my god, I had this thing in my head. I wanted to watch The Vanishing. From 1993 with Jeff Bridges, where he fucking steals Kiefer Sutherland's chick, and it's Sandra Bullock at a gas station. Did you ever see this shit?
No.
Like the whole trope of a lady getting kidnapped at a gas station, I think started with The Vanishing. It's a remake of a foreign movie, and the movie is insanely stupid in a lot of ways, but super entertaining. And it ends up Kiefer Sutherland is obsessed with finding where she went. He just wants closure. And then, like, Jeff Bridges is obsessed with seeing this guy suffer and keep putting up the wanted posters. And then when he finally starts to get over his grief and stops putting them up, that's when Jeff Bridges approaches him and says, hey, I can tell you what happened because I did it. And things get interesting. But neither of you ever seen this movie?
No.
No.
It's actually, there's some good plot mechanisms, but now that I know it's from a supposedly much better foreign film, which I haven't seen, I'm going to watch the foreign film. But the other stuff I watched was I watched episode 4 of The Patient, which is the new Steve Carell one.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, these are 30-minute episodes, like I mentioned before, which kind of pisses me off because I don't want to wait a week for 30 minutes.
Fair.
That being said. Episode 4 is basically near the end of what would usually be a second episode of a one-hour series. And it's where, like, shit really kicks into gear.
So you're saying it's like the first half.
First half
of the show.
No, like I'm saying, like, you know how a show it'll take for episode one if it's an hour set.
So if it's like half a book, you'd be like,
Don't do it. No, that's not what I'm saying.
This is where the book would end.
This is only half of the book.
I'm saying this is where in an hour long show you're near the end of episode two where you start really getting hooked. Right?
Yeah, I gotcha.
But it's episode 4 because it's 30 minutes, not an hour. But I don't want to do the Dune thing. He's being quiet, which is good. It's really kicking into high gear here, and it has
it's really kicking into the high gear.
It really is. And no, but there's some a lot of layered stuff going on about like the therapeutic process, about like him being strategic about like, I want to get this guy to do what I want, but also not kill me. Anyway, have you started that show?
No.
Well, now that it's got four episodes,
I want to wait until the whole thing is out because I don't want to wait. I don't want to play.
Yeah. I watched Pearl.
Okay.
Which is Ty West's prequel to X with Mia Goth portraying the old white bitch from X. And I'm not going to say anything in case we end up doing an episode.
Good.
I just wanted you to know I watched it.
I just wanted you to know. Hey,
I'm on top of these things.
Exactly. Well, that's the idea, right?
He's in the zeitgeist, dude.
And speaking of the zeitgeist, there is a Dutch film called Speak No Evil that was on the festival circuit and all that good shit. And it's got, I don't want to say, the critics generally have been very good to it. Audiences have been divided because one half thinks the stuff that's frustrating is brilliant. The other half thinks it's just frustrating. And I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about this fucking movie either in case we ever do it. But
I mean, if we did, I think it'd be at least 6 weeks.
It is on, I will say it's on Shudder. And probably will not be everyone's cup of tea, and it is upsetting whether you think it's disturbing either way. And some nice upbeat stuff. No Country for Old Men, The Vanishing, Speak No Evil, Pearl, and The Patient.
Nice.
And Tenet, just to give you a migraine.
Just to round it out.
To give you a migraine, yeah, on top of the pain.
Speaking of migraine.
Yeah.
Moonfall.
So good.
It's so bad. But it's both.
Yeah.
It's I watched it over 5 days. That's what it takes.
He and I had a talk on the patio about it earlier.
So that's why tough. I walked in to play Fortnite.
Yeah. It's not.
It's on HBO Max in case you're interested.
I am not. If you are a fan of movies like The Core or 2012 or, you know, any of those ilk, it's in that. It's in that genre.
But more bizarre.
But somehow more, like, more ambitious and also more...
It's not good.
It's not good. So I don't recommend...
More not good.
So I don't recommend it, but I also
highly
recommend it.
Yes.
That's where I'm at.
You watched it in 20-minute chunks, you said?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Game of Thrones continues to disappoint, which is super cool. Thank you. Thank
I'm
you.
Glad.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank
Fuck
you for
that.
Show. Thank what? You for that. We've gotten to the point where there's like incest and people are like, no. And it's like, well, it's fucking Game of Thrones. What?
It's also like, you know, Queen Elizabeth, you know, being a good wife to her cousin, you know? So this is actually how it is.
Her uncle in this case.
Yeah. This is so. Oh, good.
Oh, good.
Well, yeah. This is how they kept the bloodline pure, you know? So,
how do you think that white hair kept fucking transcending the genes?
It's dope.
Mm.
So, if you want to see some incest, watch Game of Thrones.
Right.
Or, you know, like half the videos on Pornhub.
Also true.
What are you doing, step bro?
Uncle!
Apparently, people have incest on their minds.
Dude, like, I don't get it.
Well, I mean, I'm glad you don't get it.
I don't get it. I mean, maybe it's because I never had step siblings, but it's like...
You get it on Pornhub.
I mean, I don't watch it on Pornhub. It's weird. I mean, unless the chick is really hot. And then I'll generally mute it and skip forward to the actual fucking, because then they stop talking.
Until it's not like, oh, uncle, I'm stuck.
Yeah, I'm going to tell dad. And it's like, please don't talk like that at all.
Well, they do like a dad swap. You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's like that's it's also a strange one.
Yeah, it's like two friends are fucking their dads next to each other. It's like, oh, let's. Even if you're not fucking your own dad, you're still fucking an old man 2 feet away from your dad.
That's why, I mean, it implies that like a biologist made these movies, not like a porn director, you know? Like, he's just like, well, this was likely to happen in the species.
Somebody from Alabama. They're yeah. Just like, roll tide. And let's
roll tide, baby.
Roll tide.
Hey! I'll be here to first tell you, incest not my jam. Thank you very much.
Yeah, if anybody's gonna be fucking my sister, it's me.
If anybody's gonna be fucking my sister, it's gonna be her lawfully wedded husband. Thank you very much.
Her lawfully wedded brother.
I disagree with the tenant that.
I disagree with tenant too.
Don't.
That sound design.
Don't awful. Say that.
Hey, that sound design on Tenet. Hey, it's okay by me. Hey, he wanted to make a movie. It's fine.
It's fine.
Just watch it with the subtitles.
Just turn the sound off.
Just turn the sound off.
You want the sound on with that dope ass score.
In fact, watch it in rewind for really the good effect.
Mm-hmm. You could. I might.
Just turn your TV upside down too.
Both.
Upside down and backwards, yeah. So you're watching it normally.
Stare at the back of your TV.
Or just wait a minute. Push the power button and imagine the movie.
Turn it off.
Turn off your TV. That's the best way to watch Tenet.
sit in silence and follow your breath. On the inhales, count one. On the exhales, count two. See what happens. Wait a minute. Tenet. That's Christopher Nolan's new movie. That's badass. I like that.
Oh, that's pretty good. That is pretty good. Any news we should get to, gentlemen?
I think we covered some good shit on the Jason X episode.
We did. I don't know if it's good shit, but we covered some shit.
Isn't there anything to piss Jorge off?
You know what comes after 9 in Britain? It's 10, isn't it?
Roy! A bit weird, isn't it?
It's a 10, isn't it?
That's a bit weird, isn't it?
Matt just melted, dude.
Oh, I was so embarrassed of how stupid that joke was, but it made me laugh.
You know what that was? You know what that was?
That was a 10, isn't it?
That was the weed talking.
That was a 10, isn't it?
10, isn't it? God damn. All right. Excuse me. Other than Adam's Family Values coming out again.
Adam's Family Values.
Jenna Ortega.
Hey, come on, man. What's the news, Matt? What do we got?
The news is I need to pee, so I'm trying to wait for this break.
We'll be right back.
Okay.
After these messages,
go piss. Go piss. Go piss in my mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, at least I will remember.
No, we didn't talk about the ending.
At least I remember the ending.
I remember
the fucking ending. I had to be like, what was it?
You fucking dingbat.
I think I made notes up to the raft scene and then stopped.
Stop it. Get some help.
Yeah, that rough scene was good.
Hey, Matt.
We'll talk about it.
Guess what?
What's that?
We're fucking back, man.
Shit.
Oh, shit. We didn't watch Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
No, we didn't.
The Burning.
He still got the IMDb from last week.
Not The Earning. The Burning.
The Burning Schlerning.
The Burning Schlerning.
We're here for Burning.
I love your Burning.
I love you, Burning. 1981's The Burning, directed by Tony Malham? Malham?
Hey, guess what else this dude directed real quick?
Guess it.
Jason X.
Nope.
Split Second.
His two most notable movies are Split Second and The Burning. That's pretty dope.
Starring Brian Matthews, Leah Ayers, Brian Backer, Larry Joshua. You can't
fucking Brian Backer.
You can't trust a person with two first names. I'm sorry.
Well, especially not those two first names.
Jason Alexander.
Larry and Joshua.
Fuck
in
him.
That order.
Ned Eisenberg. Lumberg fucked her.
Yep.
Carrick Glenn as Sally.
Wait, yeah, check.
Carolyn Houlihan. Houlihan!
Patch is a Houlihan.
Patch is a Houlihan.
Fisher Stevens as Woodstock.
His first movie.
Lou David as Cropsey. Shelley Bruce as Tiger. And who cares?
Where's Jason Alexander?
Jason Alexander.
I said Jason Alexander.
Did you say Holly Hunter?
I did.
I didn't hear Holly Hunter either.
So Holly Hunter, Jason Alexander, and Fisher Stevens.
I didn't.
Yeah,
it's
see?
All three of their movie, their first movie.
That's a mistake.
Wild. That's fucking
wild.
Hey, Rhett. What'd you think of The Burning, dude?
He's got this burning, yearning.
The Burning
inside
is a well-regarded now Friday the 13th ripoff. That's well-regarded within the horror community, I understand. Watching it, I kind of understand why. I'd actually say that the camera stuff and the filmmaking is probably superior in certain senses to Friday the 13th up to that point. That being said, I'm watching this for the first time in 2022, and I would be a liar if I didn't tell you one of the things that immediately stuck out to me.
Lies.
Was that the screenplay is written by Bob Weinstein.
Ugh.
And the story is Harvey Weinstein.
I think it's and Weinstein.
Then there's a special credit specifically that says...
Thank you, Harvey.
It says created by, like it's a fucking TV show, Harvey Weinstein. And so then I said, well, let me put on my goggles and be scanning this one continually. Because there'll be a lot of people like, they fucking produced a lot of good movies, which is obviously true. But this is writing and creating in the early going. And
this is his first movie too.
Okay, so let me cover the horror stuff first. The movie starts out with this fucking how am I gonna do this?
Oh god.
Okay, look. As a horror movie, there's a raft scene that's fucking great. There's a raft scene that's great for a slasher movie. There is the first kill that happens in the introduction, and then do you know how many minutes transpire before?
43
minutes before kill number two happens.
I know exactly because I was timing it.
Yeah, I timed so 20 was I minutes because to the first I
wanted,
set of tits.
Because I wanted the fucking ammunition here for this well-regarded slasher. And it's like 43 minutes that I didn't fucking need for any of this. And that's like, well, you know, no, I don't know. That's almost half the movie. It is half the movie.
Yep.
So fuck off. Now... the sex in Friday the 13th is almost always, I think always, very consensual and like it's playtime.
Mm-hmm.
In this one, something that stood out immediately, and if it's because I saw the Weinstein thing on top of it, it just goes together. There's a lot of dudes pressuring chicks into
less than four borderline sexual assaults.
No, yeah. you can say it. Yeah. They're raping these poor women.
Yeah, I don't think it counts as rape, but it's definitely sexual assault.
No, I don't want to get into a semantic. I will say that the guys are continually pressuring chicks into having sex.
Like, dude, it's so bad because like the what's the muscly guy's name?
Striker,
Blazer,
Zizek,
Blazer, right?
Glazer.
Okay, so Glazer.
That's another dodgeball reference.
I didn't mean to cut you off. Right, go ahead.
No, it's hard. It's hard to like say how I like the movie without getting into particulars.
Yeah.
So Glazer. The movie has not aged well. It has some problematic stuff, and it was stuff that honestly I think you know I'm not like some huge advocate of the slasher genre. This is kind of why, because it has these really fucked up like and also very surface level stuff about stuff. And also, if it takes 45 minutes to get to your kill, then like I'm not impressed by your slasheriness particularly. But yeah, like there's like a pervert kid in this movie and who gets protected by the camp counselor dude, and it's like, oh well, kids do this stuff.
So oh shucks, kids.
Oh shucks. Like minimize
that
the fucking
counselor sucked.
Minimize the fucking this guy. And then also
Costanza's over here like, oh, you're messing with my buddy. It's like he's a rapist, you asshole.
The movie actively kind of protects this character because he ends up like surviving for almost the entire duration of the film.
Fucking he does survive the whole thing.
He survives the whole thing, which I could say thank you for inverting the trope, like, and that it's not just the final girl, but instead it's the final perv.
So
the final perv.
But real quick. Killing wise, that raft scene is that raft scene.
Yeah.
And if Jason Voorhees is the ultimate backwoods incel just trying to kill people for fucking, this guy's trying to kill rapists and everybody else, but also rapists.
Yeah.
So that's good.
That is good.
But that's not how the movie frames it.
So I do enjoy this movie. I didn't realize there was such a downtime between kills.
Imagine that.
I was sadly disappointed at how long it took to unleash some Tatty Bojangles. Especially being a Weinstein movie, I expected there to be a lot more nudity
that
right
was
off
Weinstein
the bat.
In his pupa state.
Yeah. Well, this is his first movie. This was the movie that launched it.
He traded and, like, tits for rape.
So this movie has a lot of weird, because I mean, there's a lot of forced sexual advances in this movie. There is
you can say it, rape.
There is like the total fucking peeping Tom pervert who is defended by everybody, and he's supposed to be the sympathetic protagonist.
He's
but
the
then
nerd.
Like
he's definitely a simp.
But then like the fucking
George McFly was a bit of a perv too, though.
The buff like antagonist guy.
But I like him.
He's actually like the most redeeming guy, because like first he confronts the fucking nerd for peeping on the girl in the shower.
You mean Glazer?
Yeah, Glazer. And then, okay, so the nerd, he's also the main character in Fast Times at Ridgemont High,
where
he's also a creepy fucking pervy nerd that somehow comes out on top.
Well, he's supposed to... Yeah.
This whole time, like, you're supposed to be against Glazer. And I'm like, well, Glazer's kind of a good dude. Like, Glazer's the only guy that's speaking out of about this guy being a pervert. Like, Glazer is respectful of women, you know? Like, even when, like, he's trying to be nice to that girl. And then, like, he does push himself on her. And then she says no. And he listens.
Yeah, that was one of the fucking... But he...
He listens. But then, like, he immediately is, like, right back. But, like, the signals that are being sent by... everyone in this movie, it's like, no, don't. And then it's like they start making out again. And then it's like, no, don't. And then it's like they start making out again.
Yeah, normalizing.
And it's like the older camp counselors, it's like the woman is talking shit to the dude the entire time. It seems like they hate each other. And then in like the random next scene, she's got her head on his shoulder and they're talking like they just fucked. Yeah, so like I figured out what this movie actually is and why it feels so fucking weird. This movie is the duality of Weinstein. If you picture Cropsey as Weinstein creeping on all these people in the shower, following through the woods, and picture the shears as his dick and the women are holding the shears back being like, no, no, I don't know you, get away from me. That stuff, that's one side of his personality. The other is the creepy, nerdy guy, the nerdy Jewish guy that's spying on girls in the shower.
Alfred.
So this is the duality of Weinstein in one movie. He is Cropsey and Alfred.
I want to hear what Jorge thinks, and I'm going to let you finish. But I'll counter that and tell you there is no duality of Weinstein.
Yeah, there
they're
is
the same
he's
dude.
Just, all, just takes his he's fucking just cock rapist. Out and puts fucking syringes in it and is like, no! Yeah. And pumps up his cock.
And then hopefully dies in a prison.
Yeah, now if I saw like they're he's begging the police not to pull his teeth out because of COVID or some shit.
One of the allegations, by the way, goes back to this.
Oh, yeah. Set. This is his first movie and he like pulled out his dick and asked for a massage.
Big fucking surprise. Yeah. Big fucking surprise.
It's like knowing that this is Weinstein and watching this movie, it's like, oh, yeah.
Why did it take so long? Why did it take so long? Well, because most of it's why did it take so long for the perv? Because he got fucking protected by these other dudes.
Well, and then like even Holly Hunter was saying this is her first movie and she was making $1,000 a week for 1980. Like this low budget piece of shit movie, he's shelling out that kind of money, so like they're not gonna say shit. It's like if you're on such a sweet gig like that where you get to hang out at summer
again,
camp,
it's normalized and, it's the norms that yeah. doesn't make it moral, it doesn't make it right, but or any of those, it was the norm. Like
it's that's an why opportunity when people you say, can't refuse
because it's like Revenge of the Nerds, right? Mm-hmm. That's not holding up good on a rewatch
or like Porky's or anything or any of that
at
like,
all. Yeah, and it's like, and again, it's not like, well, it was a different time. It's like, well, that's kind of the point.
It's not, you know,
it was what, it was normalized what, rape culture.
What's,
so
what's wild
changed.
About like Porky's and like that sort of thing is that like in, I don't know if you guys remember, but on Comedy Central back in like the early 2000s, 2005 era, they used to have TNA matinee where they used to play these movies back to back to back, and it was like, yeah, it's a different time, but we also were not that far from an era that was like totally acceptable of these films.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
it was like, that's exactly right. That was normalized behavior. It was like, oh, this is what kids do.
Yeah, that was what what like the kids do, and it's like, well, yeah, we want to talk about like it's a different era and it's all it's 81 and we didn't know any better, but like people were playing this shit on cable TV
right
in the late 90s, early 2000s as like an aw shucks, you know.
Well,
like,
I mean,
like,
I saw Revenge of the Nerds
boys
as a
will be
Mormon
boys
kid.
Am I right? It's like,
yeah,
as a Mormon kid I saw Revenge of the Nerds. I
dude,
was indoctrinated with Revenge of the
in
Nerds.
In 2000 we were still putting out like American Pie, so not much had changed up until that point.
Well, I think again it's a lot of that. I mean, this is a broader conversation. Once you develop this internet thingy and things, you have a platform. It's before that, it was like, if it doesn't make the news, it's not making a bigger conversation outside your own living room.
Yeah.
Right? But now that changes everything for better and worse. Either way, it drastically alters that fucking conversation because now you've got people connected across the planet and, hundreds of thousands of them. Anyway.
I mean, yeah, we're getting away from the film a little bit.
We're getting away from the film and to the fact, but that whole fucking point that like, oh, well, it was a different time. It's like, okay, yeah, it was. And
it was still fucked up back then.
This was mainstream fucking stuff, you know?
Because this is pretty like endemic of 70s and like early 80s films, right? Like
particularly slasher movies.
And was it just... I don't want to call it like, oh, social commentary, like, you know, like rape culture and this and that. But like, Was that the point of these films to sort of combat that a little bit, or do you think it leaned into the trope?
I think
not that I want to say rape in films is a trope. I want to make that clear.
I'm gonna lean into a movie we watched earlier this year for this. Regardless of what you think of the movie, I think it examines this idea X, right? And it's the intersection of sex and death. As regarded in the late 70s, early 80s, when the home video market was occurring. So when the slasher films were getting really big, the porn home video market was also getting really big concurrently. So you got these slasher movies that are big on, as Matt like puts a lot of the time, it's tits and gore.
Tits, blood, gore.
Which is another way of saying sex and death, which is the libido and the mortito impulse, blah, blah, blah. I can make it sound as high-minded as I want, but these are confrontational films. In the sense that, but that's not necessarily why they were made. I think that it was just time to have these confrontations because there was a lot more freedom by this point of expression in these movies. And they didn't have to be high art. They could be trashy. Right. And they could be disposable. And they could be all those things.
Well,
and
in fact, I think that was the point.
That was the whole point. Like, be disposable. Weinstein saw that, like, you could make a fortune off of low budget horror films like Texas Chainsaw and Halloween. And he was just like, I need to get into cinema so I can start fucking all kinds of young actresses against their will.
You could say there's quite a lot of like very early progressive stuff in movies like Halloween, even in the idea of a final girl. And there's also, on the other hand, there's a lot of fucking like old pilgrim mentality. Like the girl who survives is the virgin. Like, of course.
Yeah.
You know, there's all that kind of trope.
But see, so
this one has totally different tropes.
Totally different. And I had sent this message to somebody a bit ago. Oh, because there was something I wanted to mention about the still frame photo. But it says, the very last thing on the IMDb trivia says, the movie is fairly unique for a slasher in the sense that most of the women who are killed didn't have sex prior to their deaths. In fact, they are strongly refused to be seduced into having sex. Furthermore, the character who takes on and survives the killer is a man with a violent past rather than the standard final girl who is usually innocent, helpless, and morally upright.
And so The Burning, is it The Burning that Harvey Weinstein has in his pants?
Yes, it's his chlamydia. His gonorrhea.
Well, speaking of burning, this isn't a stretch here. I mean, this is one where it's like,
wait, do we ask George if he actually liked this movie?
Oh, yeah, what did you think of the movie?
is this a movie to be liked?
I mean...
Dude, the horror community.
If you take out the sexual assaults...
What do you mean?
Like, if you take out the fact that these men are like...
It's already got 43 minutes of nothing. You take that out, you got fucking... But I mean,
like, if you take out that they're aggressively... Like, if the aggressive non-consensual sex is now consensual...
you can call it rape, man. You can call it rape. It's okay.
I'm calling it sexual assault because, like, I don't want to get into definitions of anything, like... I don't see
aggressive.
Aggressive
sexual assault makes it like it's like, well, it's like manslaughter.
I mean,
like,
you want to be on the right side of history, man.
I mean, no, I
get
mean,
over
like,
here with Jorge.
Kissing somebody against their will, rape, or is that sexual assault? See, it's sexual assault. There was no like sex. There was no genital manipulation of any kind.
Does that constitute rape? I didn't say there's no, but. Kissing someone is not rape, but it's
they were
assault.
Kissing naked in the water. Also, they swam out in the middle of that lake, and your then they're like was, standing though,
regardless
there.
Of what you want to call
what
it.
What was my point?
Your point was taking away that.
What's, oh no! I was gonna say taking away that stuff that hasn't aged well, like so the this, film as a whole.
The film
like
has a 8-minute sequence that is okay.
Which 8 minute?
The raft scene. Dear. That's the only thing that has any sort of like, oh fuck, dude, like. Because like in this sort of thing, you expect him to lead everyone off one by one.
Yeah.
Right? Like you're luring them into the woods. I'm gonna get you. But the idea that he takes the whole raft in one shot.
Yeah.
Kind of neat.
And that raft is literally at least half the body count for the film.
It's a massacre.
It's got a 10-person body count, and that raft had at least 5 people on it.
And we've got some good special effects and makeup work by Tom Savini, mm-hmm. right?
Like the fact that they built that raft in like two hours is incredible.
Fucking Captain tying knots over here building rafts and shit. Like the raft was impressive enough, but the oars that they made, like they had two regular oars, but the other two were like branches where they had broken off like little sticks that they had done in a line in the shape of a paddle.
They're over here fucking making Stormbringer and it's like, what the fuck?
Okay, you guys do arts and crafts while we go fuck in the woods, you know, like, well, that's kind of dope.
Also, like the idea that, like, okay, so rather than walk through the woods, okay, they decide to build a boat.
Yep.
That takes fucking forever to build oars, which takes fucking forever instead of just walking along.
Yeah, no.
The fucking river. To find the next fucking boat.
This movie makes a lot of choices, it's
more
dude.
Cinematic, dude.
Like,
totally, yeah.
So, like...
makes no sense, but it's more cinematic.
The movie's called The Burning, so when the guy, like, catches on fire at the beginning... I was laughing my ass off the whole time because I don't think they mentioned in the first like 2 minutes that he's a drunk. That's not something that comes up until later.
Note.
So he wakes up.
Endless screaming paired with slow-mo shots of a guy in a fire retardant suit.
Dude, so, and he put a beanie on too while he's on fire. He's not wearing a beanie in bed, but when he's on fire, he's got a beanie on, which is great. So he wakes up and like, first of all, the first thing that needs to be addressed is where did these fucking children get a human skull?
Yeah.
Like, did they murder somebody and take the skull?
That's not an issue, right?
It's just a prank. Did they exhume somebody?
And it has worms in it.
Yeah.
Well,
I would
suggest they dug up a corpse, right?
That's like a fresh out of the dirt. Like, where did they get this corpse? And then they go and like... put candles in its eyes or something to scare this old drunk fucking groundskeeper Willie. And he like wakes up and he stares at it and smacks it onto his own bed. And nobody in this movie understands the concept of self-preservation. He's on fire and he lays there in bed just going, while he's on fire. Doesn't try to stop, drop, and roll. Like, you know, later, when after he's burned, hold on. After he's burned and they're in the hospital and the black guy's telling him, like, oh, this is the story. And then he gets his arm grabbed. The black guy doesn't go, like, oh, like, you know, maybe if I just pinch this guy, he'll let go.
And not only
this
that,
guy that's burned that's, with shit grip, well, he just stands there and stares like, at
right
his
right
arm.
Right at the beginning of his injury. So he's not like, he doesn't have the super strength.
Well, Sophia asked what's happening. I'm like, well, he got burned, so now he's invincible.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
And then like the black dude, okay, this is how it goes. He goes, come on, take a look.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, take a look. I'm like, he's going to say it again. I can tell it's in that absurd repetitive thing.
He's going to say
it two more times.
Dude, and you know he's going to say, I ain't never seen nothing like this in my whole life.
Barbecued.
Yeah.
Big Mac.
Dude, and it's like, what did I say? What movie did we do recently where we did something and I was like, and of course, here comes the mythical black person to do the expo dump and then they say something that's like.
What movie was that recently?
That's the other movie.
Actually, it works really well in that context as opposed to this
bullshit.
But
it's still there.
It is there for a reason because they're in a ghetto where that shit happens.
Okay, in that other movie, it makes more sense.
Fuck, yes it does. Now but you like, can leave that alone.
Seeing the trope go back 32 years and be like almost exactly the same.
Yeah.
Like that's a bit comical. Well,
I think,
but like anytime
we'll
anybody
get to
hears
that when we do that,
anytime
movie.
Anybody hears in any danger, they kind of just sit there like a deer in the headlights and wait to be murdered.
Well,
and that's kind of dope. I'm glad they do that.
Wouldn't you though?
It took me immediately out of the
movie. Don't know, dude. You don't know until you're in the situation.
I wouldn't know until like I'm in a situation and be like, oh, dude, like who's left in the world for me? Nobody.
Yeah.
Something else I want to point out, right after those, there's like not one intro, it's two intros kind of before they go to the thing, which there's a variety of
choices,
experimental choices here, you know, but then it goes to this synth score that's very oppressive. And I'm like, who fucking did this?
The music in this was pretty dope.
You know who it's Rick Wakeman. Do you know who that is?
Do you think I know
the keyboardist for fucking Yes. Ah,
that's
so
dope.
He's the keyboardist for Close to the Edge and Fragile and these great early Yes albums where they have 20 minute songs and he wears a cape this motherfucker is amazing, and he's doing this slasher movie. It's so fucking odd.
Did you know the singer of Toto did the voice of Simba in The Lion King?
No.
What was the other one we talked
about? I can't remember what it was, but the other one was the one that blew my mind. Like, and I can't in his IMDb for the life of me find it.
It was the Local H song.
Oh, yeah. That was wild.
Yes, I have a score by Rick fucking Wakeman.
This is a look.
And like once the nudity starts, it's almost like they realize that they waited 20 minutes and then they're like,
43 minutes.
Nudity. The first nudity was just under 20 minutes. And it was that girl when the guy was creeping on her. Because I was like, this is a Weinstein movie. We should be seeing tits from the jump. And then when they finally showed him, it was that girl in the shower. And they were doing that playful like thing where they stopped the camera just above. And it's like, we're not going to show him. And I'm like, are you fucking serious? Like, what is happening here? This is a slasher film made by the Weinsteins. And we ain't got no tatty, but oh, there they are. And then they do the super long shot on them.
Does Weinstein prefer rape or does he prefer admiring the female form?
He prefers rape.
Then that's why there's less tits.
I mean,
it's a mistake. I agree.
Dude, Weinstein is like, ugh, tits.
Yeah. Tits without rape, no fun.
Dude, if you watch this movie again and you honestly like think of Cropsey as Weinstein just stalking people, it makes the movie
This is Weinstein. He's like, she's naked, boss. It's but she's in a shower.
Is she getting raped in there, though?
She's in a shower. What is this, a National Geographic special?
what I mean? We need to see her being raped. Need to see.
I don't like this scene. Well, it's a sex scene. Well, it's too consensual. It's
far too consensual.
You need to have some tension. You know, they need to be saying no.
Hey, boss, what do you mean we need to have more tension? I need our women actresses to be saying no.
Yeah.
Like more and more.
I need
more
the men in the movie to be more of a threat than the killer.
And then it would be cool if we have like a nerdy kid who's like a victim. Well, how's he a victim? Well, because he's, you know, he's trying to peep on the girls and.
He's an actual piece of shit.
Well, no, he's a nerdy kid. He's trying to peek on you, and it's like, you mean like a pervert, a potential sexual predator?
Yeah.
Harvey. He ends up. We can't do this, and he's like, no, we need him to be the.
He's
hero.
An innocent kid.
We need him to be the hero.
The women are trying to set him up.
Harvey, hold on a second, dude. If we do this, this is the dark path we're going down. I know.
He's like, don't tell me about dark paths.
Don't kink shame me. I love dark paths.
Like, he's a total piece of shit. Like, Glazer is like the one person that's supposed to be the piece of shit.
Glazer.
But is not Glazer? Whatever it is.
Dodgeball.
Glazer. Oh. Snakebite. He is like the one being bullied through the whole movie. The counselors are fucking with him. Like, all the girls in the camp are talking about, like, oh, his muscles, like, I would lick his sweat off his body. And then he comes over and very politely tries to say hi to them, and they all start clowning on him. The one fucking skinny kid with the hairy ass crack brings a fucking gun to camp, and they all line up in formation. And then they just sit there holding the pose like Charlie's fucking angels until everyone knows. He's like, there's going to be four commands. Ready, aim, fire, run. And they did the ready, aim, fire, and then they held for like 3 minutes until everyone was painfully aware that they shot him, and then they left. And everybody picks on this poor guy. Like, I felt so fucking bad for him.
Oh, Glazer,
like,
the apologetic rapist.
Yeah, it's just because you're like a dumb fucking muscle-bound New Yorker fucking...
Oh, you identify with the muscles, huh?
Johnny Hammersticks over here.
How many times are you going
to
talk about that motherfucker's muscles, dude?
Bro, they were good muscles.
All right.
His face was fucking beat to shit.
Because, hey, look, the kid's got muscles. He can't be a rapist.
Yeah. I mean, like, he listened, though. Like, he listened. He went in for a kiss, which, like, okay, he was aggressive about it, but she said no. And then he's like, okay. And he let her go. He did corner her, which is, like, problematic. But he let her go.
It's the whole movie.
He let her go.
Like you said, like, what if you took it out? These are all the scenes.
He respected her wishes.
He respected her wishes.
3 seconds later, he's got her pushed up against a rock trying to pull her shirt down. And she's like, no, but maybe. But okay. But maybe.
Matt, but consider that these are the scenes they're choosing to make their movie about.
Oh,
to fill the time.
He just likes the hunt. That's what it is. Harvey Weinstein. He likes seeing the deer in the headlights. That's what it is.
He likes the hunt.
Weinstein likes the hunt. So he likes.
Weinstein likes the hunt.
He likes seeing. Like, think of that.
Wait. That's the Matt. That's Matt's snippet review for The Burning. Weinstein likes the hunt.
He does, dude.
On the DVD cover. Weinstein likes the hunt.
I mean, it's all the look of fear in the women's eyes. Every one of the kills is like a woman trying to push her attacker away. Except for the men who just stand there and take it. The women are the only ones that fight back. The men
will. Because that's how we like it,
the
right?
The men willingly die. They're just like...
He's the alpha. He's got the scissors. Yep. Time to go.
The women are like, no, I don't know. You get away. And the men are like, scissor me, ass daddy. They're like right in there.
Speaking of which, the first scissor sequence with the filthy old hoe.
Yeah.
They shove it in her belly.
Yeah, they do.
That's pretty gross.
It's cool.
And then they're saying some very obviously jam looking material on a mirror.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm watching this and I'm like, is this for real? And then I hear your voice like, that's dope. And it's like, it's not dope.
There's weird things in this movie too that feel CGI even though they're not. Like that scene where the girl had her hand outstretched and the blood came down and went down her thumb. Like something about that looked really weird. When they were like paddling the canoe, something about it made it look like they were in front of a green screen. Like you knew they weren't,
yeah.
But like it still felt like a fucking green screen. Mm. There's like, and you know, for being 1980 and you know, low budget, it's not going to have green screen and. So also like this movie gets compared to Friday the 13th a lot, and I looked it up today. Why? Just because like I wanted one of them to I wanted one of them to be able to reign supreme. And according to IMDb, this was written before the first Friday the 13th, and it came out the same week as Friday the 13th Part 2, which yes, but it says it was written before 1980s Halloween or 1980s Friday the 13th.
Okay.
And Tom Savini turned down working on Friday the 13th Part 2 to do this movie.
Yeah, and I looked into that too, which I thought was interesting. So that's what I mean. If we look at, let's be objective. Let's look at the weird ass pedigree here. You got the Weinstein brothers.
Mm-hmm.
You got Tom Savini.
Mm-hmm.
You got Jason Alexander, Holly Hunter, and Fisher Stevens' first movie.
Mm-hmm.
You got the fucking keyboardist from Yes doing a dark synth score.
Yep.
This is a weird fucking situation.
You got homeboy from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, even though this was before that, nobody knew who he was. So the thing is, somebody saw him in this and was like, you know what? That's the right dude for the lead in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, right there. This fucking pervy nerd. Let's get him in there.
Well, yeah. But then there's the pervy nerd's friend in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Damone,
who has his own issues. Okay,
so similarities. Damone and Glazer both come in an instant and then apologize. But like,
Damone
is a scum fuck about it, Glazer is like, I'm sorry. I bet you want to go back to camp.
Yeah, but Kendrick Lamar always comes fast and never apologizes.
And she's like, no, I don't need to go back. Maybe we can just like chill. And he's like, for real? You could tell that he was really happy just to be spending time with her, which made like him more endearing to me. You know, it's like, and she consensually gave it up. Like he may have been really bad at the sex, but you know
what? I thought I was going to be like coming in here and it's like, I'm stretched. Like we don't want to talk about, it is the whole movie though.
Yeah. It's the whole movie.
It is the whole fucking movie. It's certainly more the movie than the killings.
Yeah. It's like the people who get killed are the people who like aren't getting laid, pretty much.
Well, wow.
Or are getting laid.
Wow.
I mean, it's a weird distinction to make, right? Because it's like, you know, with these slashers, are always like, it's always the horny ones, and like in this film, it's always the rapists that get killed.
Yeah.
Well, and the rapies that survive. Well, I mean, it's like the little rapey boy.
Wait, so who all died? There was like five people on the boat, and there was like. The two of them were Johnny Hammersticks that tried to rape the girl in the water. There was the hairy ass kid with the gun. That kid had a really fucking hairy ass. I was so like staring at that kid's hairy ass crack that I had to rewind to see if Jason Alexander showed his ass.
There's a great line from Jason Alexander's ass. When they're on the raft, he goes,
Hey, I told you not to beat your schlong last night. It drains your power.
Did he? Yeah. I missed that.
Yeah, that was bad.
There you go again. That's with great. This shit.
That's great.
And, well, and, you know, facts. It does drain your power. Does it not?
It does. Try it to supposedly go work out does. Legs. I do that a lot. What? Like, I've heard that it's, like, so weird that I do that. Like,
it's not weird, but I tell you, do an experiment. Don't beat your schlong for a few days and do legs.
Dude.
See how much fucking shit you have down there.
If I fire off a fistful of knuckle children, like, and then go to the gym, I'm good. Like, I have that clarity.
Well, there's no reason that you can't be good, right? You don't want to get superstitious about it. But it does have an effect on your vitality in the region. That's why boxers, a lot of the time, they don't fucking... Weeks before a fight, they need to keep their legs.
Well, that's just what makes them angry.
It's
like you can't fuck, so you'll be an animal. Well, that's the thing.
It all gets the kundalini, dude.
The kundalini, dude.
So to revisit this, he gets burned, becomes a psychotic killer.
Okay, question. Do we think that Todd the Rod came back to the camp in an attempt to lure out Cropsey, or is he just that fucking egotistical that he's like, I totally murdered an old fucking groundskeeper here. I'm just going to keep coming back here.
Right?
Oh, that's right. It was the one across the lake.
Yeah. So he's going, he went to another camp because he know he fucked
up. So is Cropsey then
hunting him?
Chasing him, or is Cropsey just like living in the woods now? Like,
I think, see, this is where I lose you, because you act like there's
it matters.
Like there's a thing here.
Well, no, because I was wondering. No, because I was wondering that, like, when the twist is revealed that Todd was one of the people that killed Cropsey, it's like, well, and Todd was the person who told the story at the campfire. Does Todd like actively know? Is he just sharing another story? Is he retelling the story about how he killed this fucking guy? Like,
no, because I think Cropsey is thought to be dead at that point.
Well, right? Because
at least the campers
in his story, they say that they never found his body, but like we as an audience know that they did, because like at the very beginning of the movie, he's in the hospital,
right?
Yeah,
you know, and then they talk about how that other camp completely burned down, like. Which I don't understand how, because that cabin would have just gone up and then Cropsey ran outside. And
you might be happy about this. A movie that I was looking up that was in conjunction with this and Friday the 13th was called Madman.
Oh, I've seen Madman.
All right. And so I was about to...
It's got a horrible cover.
I was trying to start watching it last night after this just a little bit, because it was like 2:30 in the morning, but I was curious about how it started. And I was watching this on Tubi. And good old Tubi, as soon as this movie ended, it started one. I'm like, what is this? And it's all, Madman. And I was like, holy shit.
Did you watch it?
I watched the first 10 minutes, and it starts with them at a campfire telling goofy fucking stories.
How are they connected, the movies?
Well, immediately, right? I didn't watch the rest, but immediately it starts with them telling stories at a campfire about a murderer.
Oh, I thought you meant that there was like a connection, and so you were going to seek it out.
I would, because it's Friday the 13th, The Burning, and Madman, which are considered the trifecta.
Of 1980.
Oh, yeah.
Shitty camp slasher films.
Yeah, but...
Well, and then we got...
When you look at the tropes of sex in this, as opposed to Friday the 13th, which also has the sex stuff, but then bring in Sleepaway Camp.
I was just going to mention Sleepaway Camp.
Its own sexual issues, because it's like Jurassic Park, but with pedophiles. Right? And then the fucking...
Wait, how is Sleepaway Camp like Jurassic Park with pedophiles?
That's an old joke.
That was a live line when we watched it live.
Is it?
Yeah, damn. Because I saw it was just very suspenseful. Like, who's going to get fucking raped next? You know what I mean? Who's going to get molested next here? That's what it felt like the whole movie.
Yeah.
And then finally, the big reveal. She's got a dick. You know what I mean? The most terrible.
The most horrible of things.
The most horrifying fucking reveal ever.
Which is crazy. It's like, oh shit, the worst thing we could think of. If she's got a dick? Oh my God.
So, and that's the thing. Because this isn't intending to be high art, and it's not intending to speak for the zeitgeist. Because it's
how could she have a dick?
Time goes by, and it becomes the purest expression, in a sense,
of the attitudes about sex at the time among these kind of in the slasher movies, because it's just giving you, again, it's just like fucking on the comedy side of it with Revenge of the Nerds and Porky's. It's giving you what's the normalized view among like the youth.
Well, yeah. What's up with the youth?
At this time, the youth is rapey. At this time, the youth is very much normalized rape culture. It's very much that the woman needs to cooperate with the dude or else. It's very much that that's what they're expected to do. It's very much, what's the word? Homophobic.
Homophobic, yeah.
And transphobic.
I was like, where are you going with
it's
this?
It's homophobic, transphobic.
He's all hetero, homonormative.
It's pro going to camp and getting molested and keeping your mouth shut. And
yeah, like big time.
It's big on that.
I'm surprised there wasn't like a shower rape, like where they raped the nerd guy.
Definitely into white nationalism with token black dude.
That would be like gay.
Like, well, yeah, but there's always got to be, you know, the one guy that gets fucking emasculated like that. Like when we did Slaughter High, like,
well, I think remember that's Glazer. That's Glazer in this movie.
Poor fucking Glazer, dude. I think like, that, like, I felt so bad for him.
Poor fucking Glazer.
I felt so bad for him, dude. Well, because it's like when fucking Alfred is spying on homegirl in the shower, like everybody else dismisses it. And they're like, boys will be boys. Ha ha ha. Panty raids are fine.
Glazers will be
and
Glazers.
And Glazer's like, bro, I gotta fuck you up. What is your deal? Like, what do you think you're doing here? You know? And he's like a genuine good dude, it seems. He's a little fucking slow. He's a little bit of a meathead and he's got that weird thing with his lips, but like, he's got a good heart, I think. And like, everybody's just fucking picking on him. And it's like, what is this weird, like, dumping on the head of like social hierarchies where the muscular muscular jock
is getting picked on
by all these fucking nerds.
You
like,
only want to do what you think is right.
Yeah, dude, it's like Revenge of the Nerds, man.
Leave it to Matt, who's like Glazer. That's my Blazer.
Dude, the whole time I'm watching it, I'm like, why are they making him out to be a dickhead? Like, he's the only one that seems like an all right dude. You know, and then, like, even when he got, you know, handsy with the girl he's with, he was still...
Stop. Now you're defending Glazer.
I've been defending Glazer this whole time.
I know, but you don't got to defend even when he's getting handy with the girl.
No, I was going to say, at least he listened. She's like, no, I don't want to. And he's like, okay.
Also, here's the other thing.
I respect your wishes.
I'm not just being hypocritical jerk here. It's also, if you have to get handy, that means you suck.
Right? I mean,
remember that.
That reminds me. So there's another part where, like,
you shouldn't have to force yourself on
George
a chick.
George Costanza and somebody else are, like, flipping through, like, nudie magazines. And Glazer's, like, laying on the bed, and he's, like, looking through girly mags. You guys make me sick. And he makes the jack-off motion. And he's, like, you should try the real thing sometime. And it's, like, okay, so on one hand, you're, like, defending.
So what are you defending?
I'm, like, you're defending that you think that, like, looking at women in pornographic magazines is disgusting, but then you're advocating like just fucking a bunch of chicks, and then he gets a bag of condoms from Costanza, and it's like, oh no, you are a scum. And then he's like, I asked for lubricated, and I was like, oh, he cares about her pleasure and her comfort. So like, what a thoughtful guy.
Well, I read that more as like he needs the lubed ones because
they're not excited.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe. Well, I mean, he is a dead fuck. Like, he just like did 30 seconds. He's like, I'm sorry. And he came inside her too. And he's just like, they just played it off. Like, whatever.
I'm sorry, girl. I didn't mean to come inside.
I went pee pee.
Dude,
I had to go pee pee.
I mean, come on.
That's humanoids from the deep.
That's your boy, dude. Glazer, that's your boy.
Your face is pretty good.
I had to go pee.
I went pee pee.
It's like, fuck, man. Like,
that's him, dude. Come on, man. He sucks too. They all suck.
He's a bit Neanderthal, but like he's
a bit.
He's got a good heart.
Neanderthal with a good heart. That's what Glazer is.
He's Encino Man.
And he died, right? Glazer died.
He dies.
Fuck, I'm having a hard time.
How did he die? I don't even remember. I remember he goes, oh yeah, he goes back for the, okay, I need answers for this. He goes back and he finds the girl that he just sexually disappointed, like laying in her sleeping bag. He takes forever to uncover
it's
her.
It's like she was flattered he came inside her, though.
And he's admiring how beautiful she is. I get that. But then, like,
because we're so wonderful, they just love us to come
in
there.
Was Cropsy in the sleeping bag? Like, because he starts pulling the cover back, and then, like, his hand pops up with the scissors, but then all of Cropsy jumps out from inside the sleeping bag.
It's fucking madness, dude.
Oh, there's, like, so many things about this. This movie is definitely funner to watch with people and, like, talk through the entire thing for. Mm. But, whew, man, I had a lot of fun with this movie. Huh.
Did you like this movie?
I mean, the sexual assaults definitely made it feel a little uncomfortable. But I mean, I enjoyed watching it. And maybe it was just because I watched it with people and we were like cracking jokes on it. And even talking about it now, it's still fun to crack jokes on it. But like, I didn't, for me to not notice that it was 45 minutes between kills, like, I'd say that I was enjoying it.
Okay, so I'm going to cover both my bases here. At the risk of sounding too woke to the horror community, I'm going to come at it like this. The movie has its second kill at Mark 43. Unacceptable. It has one good sequence, really, which is the raft. It's not that fucking much to write home about without all this sex stuff.
Paper-thin plot.
You throw in this sex stuff, and you got a problematic, boring slasher. So
true, true.
Now, does it have some style? Does it have like some good technique? Does it seem like it's got Tom Savini again? It's got Rick Wakeman. So I'll point that out. But you know, man, like this doesn't. If it's this isn't the one that's going to change my mind about slashers.
No,
you know what
that
I mean?
Was Terrifier.
In fact, well, no, I like Terrifier much better than this movie. But. In fact, this actually reverts me back to my old view of slashers. This is like probably example number one of what's wrong with slasher movies.
Fair.
You know what I mean? As far as the ethos goes.
Like in terms of essence, this is the worst of the worst when it comes to slasher movies.
Kind
of,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Porky's as a slasher movie.
And I know that we...
Did Weinstein do Porky's too?
I mean, I wouldn't doubt it.
Fuck, who knows?
I know that like people are like, oh, dude, Cropsy's such a great villain. I'm like, was he though? Like,
I like his face, and like when he comes out with a flame,
because he looks like a pig.
That bummed me out. He came out with a flamethrower, and I'm like, oh, good, he's gonna get fucking Todd the Rod, you know? And then like Todd's just laying there, not doing anything for self preservation, and then Cropsy is just like, oh shit, I forgot I left Alfred on the wall. I'm gonna fast travel over there. And then
Cropsy's like, oh, dude, I left the stove on.
Yeah. And then he just vanishes. And then Todd is there, or Alfred is there screaming and taking it. And then fucking Alfred just stabs him. And then like Cropsy comes back and then it's like, oh, hold on. Let's Tommy Jarvis this guy real quick.
Yeah.
Which they did before Tommy Jarvis too. But like, I was just so disappointed with the ending. I made the comment earlier as I was watching it. I was like, there, because I paused it to go to the bathroom. I'm like, there's 15 minutes left in this movie.
Who did you watch this with?
And it feels like it's nowhere near a resolution. I watched it with Andrea.
Yeah, I got to the, I hit pause and it was 10 minutes left. I'm like,
yeah, it's like,
this is fucked.
We haven't even seen the killer in a while. They haven't confronted the killer. And then it's like, it's so anticlimactic at the end. It's like, somehow he gets the fucking nerd. And instead of killing the nerd, he like ties him up to toy with him or lead in Todd. Maybe use him as bait for Todd. And ultimately, it was his downfall. He can take out an entire raft full of teens, but you get one fucking pervy nerd and one dismissive dickhead, and it's too much.
That's me, dude.
If he would have just flamethrowered that dude on the floor, he could have then fast-traveled back and taken care of Alfred.
Right.
Definitely.
Poor plan.
Now you're thinking.
Poor planning.
Cropsy, poor planning. You goofed it.
Yeah.
So don't watch it.
I would recommend it. It's
like, I would watch it.
It's very much in my wheelhouse, so I'm into it.
Pretty much at this point, even though it's a lesser known.
Is it lesser known though?
I would no. Let me.
Sorry.
Known to, among the horror community.
I apologize.
Lesser known to the masses, certainly. I would think they're not anywhere close to familiar with Cropsy or The Burning as its counterpart. the beloved Friday the 13th franchise.
Yes.
By the way, you can get a lot of Friday the 13th t-shirts at Kohl's now. So
that's so wild.
It's also Target.
It's definitely a horrific franchise. It's scary and it's menacing. And Jason is truly the baddest incel ever. and they love him at Target and Kohl's like they do the Mandalorian. And
damn.
And Pink Floyd shirts inexplicably.
Weird.
It's all bad news.
All right, dummies. Well, that's it for The Burning for episode 364. What's next?
Next is Barbarian.
Barbadion.
2022's Barbarian.
Barbarian.
Barbadion.
And Matt is excited.
I'm excited.
I'm excited.
I am disappointed. I'm going to have to watch it again.
That's just you, dude.
That's you, dude.
Yes, that's what I said.
That's just...
That's you.
That's just the weed talking.
Trash. Wait a minute.
Trash.
We didn't do any trash this episode.
Well, it's because it's a new meme. It's a new meme.
Okay. It's because...
That it happened.
The Burning was the trash, dude.
All right, this
burning
is Jorge.
Burning trash.
Signing out.
This is Matty Mouth on the South Ding Dong.
This is... Bye, Sophia.
Bye, Sophia.
We did that.
Bye. That was Ray!
Thank you.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.